So happy to have you listening in here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. And we're going to switch gears right now and talk with you about tailgate grilling. Actually, we're not switching too far because tailgating goes right along with football. And we've certainly got a couple of guys, and I just lost one of them, but he'll be back. He'll be back in a second. It was my fault, by the way. He'll be back in a minute. Mad Dog and Merrill. Merrill was temporarily lost, but he'll be back in a second or two. They are great grillologists. They're the hosts of the TV show Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin', which is going into its second season. They've written several cookbooks, and the latest is Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin' Cookbook. So we'll talk with them about grilling. We'll zero in a bit on tailgate grilling, but we can talk about grilling wild game. Well, frankly, I think we can probably talk about grilling most anything with these two guys. And I hope you'll join in. Maybe you've got an idea for a tailgate grill, or maybe you have some questions about it. Maybe you have questions about how do you grill that venison or that right now the hunting seasons are going, the ducks and the geese and the pheasants. How do you grill those? We can talk with them about that as well. And you can join us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, so you can go there as well. Merrill.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry I cut you off.
Oh, I've been cut off before. It won't be the first and won't be the last time.
Well, I saved Mad Dog. He was still there. Are you there, Mad Dog?
Sure, I'm here.
Do you guys do some tailgate grilling?
Just a little bit. You know, back in the days, you know, we used to do the America's Pack tailgate party, which we started out doing maybe 50 brats, you know, and 20 dogs and 3 cases of beer. And to make a long story short, we ended up doing 10,000 brats a game, 5,000 hot dogs, and 55 half barrels of beer. And that was before the game.
Oh. Where was that?
That was in Green Bay.
Oh.
Actually, right in the parking lot of Lambeau Field. But we've taken many a trip with the Big Red Club over to Madison and tailgated with those folks and cooked out for them back in the 80s and had some wonderful times.
Oh, boy. Well, certainly brats and hot dogs come to mind when we're talking grilling.
Yes, they do. You know, that is, you know, completely the standard for grilling for us cheeseheads up here. Everybody still likes their brats. They like the burgers. You know, you go down to St. Louis, the big thing for tailgating for them in St. Louis, so you do pork steak. And pork steak's a really big one for them down there. Instead of the consumption of bratwurst that we would consider up here down in St. Louis, they consume a lot of pork steak for tailgating.
Now, what is it about pork steaks that they, what do they do?
You know, we've talked to many of people on that have no idea of really why St. Louis is known for on their pork steak. But it's just for the fact they don't know if it's just from the farming community down there or, you know, of having a whole bunch of hogs. We have no idea, but for some reason that is the pork steak capital of the world, for some reason.
Huh,
I don't know. Maybe Mad Dog knows. I have no idea.
No, but that's what we do. We just grind ours up and put them in the form of tubes. All the same, we're all one in the world.
That's right, exactly.
Well, you know, you're right about that. There's a lot of pork brats out there, and there's beef brats. And my wife now has gotten really big on the chicken, the brats that are made with chicken, and there's some spicy ones that are really good.
Well, you know, it's really amazing, especially another thing that we really like to push is the small butcher shops. Mm-hmm. Because they create their own brats. They have different types of flavor of bratwurst. You know, they have their chicken fajita brats, you know, their regular cheese bratwurst, kraut bratwurst. But it's Reuben. Really nice to really buy local and go to the local butchers because I think that they make some of the best brats anywhere.
Absolutely. Well, what's your favorite tailgate grill?
To me, I would definitely like using another big thing. It's called beef tri-tip. which is one that we just started using. You get them at the store. It's actually the tip part of the sirloin roast. So it's only about a pound and a half to 2.5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll go ahead and marinate that with just a little bit of olive oil, Worcestershire sauce, and garlic. And you really grill it direct method of cooking, but you slice it very thin and place it on hoagie rolls. And top it with some onion and tomatoes. Absolutely delicious.
Ooh, that sounds good. That sounds really good. We had we've already got a Facebook comment here, and this is off. Well, I suppose you could do this on a tailgate, but this relates to turkey. And let's see, where have I got it? Since the turkey season is almost here, the fall turkey hunting season, I was wondering if you had any recipes for wild turkey. Also, salmon recipes would be appreciated. This is a Facebook question for Mike. So.
You know, of course, you're talking a little bit of wild game, and the season's coming up, too, besides the tailgating. Wild turkey's good to do on the grill. It's always slow and easy, the indirect method of cooking. A lot of people make sure the turkey is nice, well-dressed. You never want to put anything in the cavity of a turkey except for maybe a few onions or apple slices or garlic or a cinnamon stick or two, because the turkey, whether it's wild or domesticated, loves to cook from the inside out. You want to leave the cavity opened up so that the inside gets to cook, the heat gets into the inside of the turkey, and it fully cooks evenly. So that's a key thing.
That's a key thing. What about salmon?
Well, salmon on the grill, you know, is delicious to do. You glisten it with an oil, you season it up, you put a little brown sugar over the top, you slap it skin side down over a nice medium direct heat, and the tail end's going to bead white in about 5 or 6 minutes, 4 minutes. You turn that burner off or adjust it away from the heat of a charcoal grill. And in about 12 minutes, the total juices get pushed to the top. That's the natural proteins of the meat. Those little white beadings, that's when that salmon is done. The rich omega-3s are delicious. It's high in protein, high in calcium. Salmon really is an all-around great food for everybody health-wise, too.
And, you know, Judith, our producer, loves your salmon marinade that has the soy sauce, the brown sugar, and the ginger.
That's a really good flavor. You know, a lot of people don't realize that, the flavor that you go ahead and bring out with on ginger. But anything for doing on salmon steaks or, you know, salmon fillets, I mean, be creative. But for some reason, I'll tell you, the brown sugar really kicks it up a notch. You know, there again, Mad Dog will just use their plain old number one barbecue sauce. You know, just oil the salmon, place the sauce on top, and it comes out great also.
We have lots of, by the way, you can join in with a question at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. I'd love to hear from you. And I do mention this. I want to let our listeners in Ashland know that their current home for this show and the Ideas Network, 102.9, is going off the air at about noon today, 12 noon today. And at that moment, it'll be replaced by a newer, more powerful Ashland station. And the new station is 90.9 FM. So make the switch so you don't miss a minute of your favorite show. And you don't want to miss Mad Dog and Merrill. You never know what those guys are going to say. So that's coming up. 90.9 is the new one if you're in Ashland. We had a Facebook comment from Mary. Thanks so much to you fellas for telling me on a previous show to slow down the grilling of low-fat burgers. Bison, venison blend, and beef burgers are all much juicier now.
Well,
that's absolutely true. You know, we 80%. I was just talking to a gentleman yesterday. We did a little, actually for Mosquito Hill Nature Center in our area, we give away a little cookout. And we were at their home yesterday, and the guy hardly uses his grill. But we told him, because it flares up all the time, is, you know, take those nice brown, those nice juicy burgers that should stay juicy, brown them up a little bit, move them over to the side where there is no heat so you don't have a chance to get a flare-up, put the hood down, and relax. And probably 80% of my cooking is done that way. You brown meat products up, especially you wild gamers out there, brown up that meat product, which is so lean, move it over to the side where there is no heat and give it a little more TLC, and you can baste it better that way and keep it under control. So a lot of good results that way.
Yeah, well, for a typical hamburger, if you brown it and then you let it sit off to the side, how long roughly would you be waiting for it to be done?
you know, depending on your desired doneness, anywhere from 10 to 15 to 20 minutes, because you got control of it. I mean, if Larry Mueller's not ready to eat yet and he's the star of the show, then of course you turn the heat way down and you can turn it back up again if you want to eat faster. I mean, it's the key thing is you have control.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah.
Mary Beth also shared a recipe on Facebook, and hers was for venison kebab. So your marinade for the meat was a half a cup of balsamic vinegar, eighth of a cup of olive oil, a couple of squirts of Worcestershire sauce. Take it easy on that. Lots of garlic and salt. Mix a second marinade to brush on vegetables and pineapple using lighter oil and vinegar with the other ingredients. What do you think?
I love it.
In our tailgating cookbook, page 52, under Wild Game, we have one that's similar. It's got a little dark beer. It's got vinegar. It's got a bay leaf or two, a little Worcestershire, and a few cloves of garlic. And then we marinate similar, those kebabs. So that sounds good. She's right on the mark.
Yeah, I like that. Mary Beth, thank you very much for sharing that. Somebody else may have something to share, too. And if you do, I hope you'll join in. Go to our Facebook page. It's easy to post there at the Larry Mueller Show. Or you can call in with a question or comment. What do you do for tailgating or for wild game cooking? Give us a call. 1-800-642-1234. And, of course, you can also email us at talk@WPR.org. Does wild game, I think game does pretty well on the grill.
Oh, it does. You know, I think a lot of people have got to realize that they overcook a lot of wild game all the time. But the big thing that we've talked about before is it is so lean, you're going to have to oil it. And remember, don't cook, as Mad Dog even mentioned, I mean, let's cook on a nice medium heat. A lot of people out there got the, grill cranked up on high and just go on a nice medium heat. It adds really good flavor. You know, you don't have much fat into it, so it's a lot more healthier eating also.
Absolutely. Mad Dog and Merrill, our guests today, they'll be with us right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking grilling here on the Ideas Network with two guests, Mad Dog and Merrill, nationally recognized and self-proclaimed grillologists. They are the hosts of the TV show Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin', which is going into its second season. They have several cookbooks, the latest Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin' cookbooks. And I've seen your show, and I like your show, by the way, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We have a good time.
Yeah, you seem to really be having a good time. How's it going? You happy with it?
Actually, it's going really, really well. We're actually working on next year's season already with the sponsorships and ideas for doing taping. And, in fact, we're headed tomorrow to the big state of Minnesota to do a taping there for Second Harvest Heartland, which actually helps to feed the hungry and stuff like that. So it's interesting stuff, plus a lot of grilling, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and how do people find that? Probably go to your website, maybe.
Absolutely, maddogandmerrill.com. Otherwise, it's every Sunday morning at 9:30 throughout the whole state of Wisconsin and Minnesota on the CW network. Every Sunday morning at 9:30, CW.
And if you go to Facebook, you'll find out also where our appearances are and everything and what shows that we do have coming up, too.
Perfect. Ben in Eau Claire has a question for you guys, so let's go there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Good. So I'm a college student at Eau Claire, kind of eat on a college budget, and I was wondering if you could, so we do a lot of grilling up there, and I was wondering, I've heard some stuff about, some of the, adverse effects of carcinogens or something like that gets in the meat when you grill, and I wonder if you'd help, clarify, I guess, what happens there and any ways to avoid any of the negative effects there.
Okay.
Well, one of the things that we've been preaching for years, Ben, if you've been listening, it's we slow cook the meat products. So on a medium heat, if you lightly brown up meat products, move them over the side where there is no heat, you don't have that chance of burning the natural sugars of the meat, which causes carcinogens. So health-wise, compared to a frying pan or broiling in your oven, the ways Mad Dog and Merrill preach and 90% of the outdoor cooking we do, the indirect method of cooking where the meat product turns out golden brown and juicy, it's actually one of the healthiest cookings there is.
Yeah. There you go.
Appreciate it. Yep.
All right. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for calling. And let's turn to Gene in Elk Mound next. Hi, Gene.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, my pastor
here over by El Zone just published a book on wild game.
Very
for
cool.
Cooking with some recipes, yeah. And they're his own recipes and stuff. And if anyone wants bear recipes, they should look up the bear hunting magazine.
Yeah, well, bear. Well, what's the name of his cookbook?
I don't remember.
Ah,
I can give you his email address.
That's a good name.
It's booksoftheway.com.
Booksoftheway.com.
And his name is Pastor Sean Caulfield.
Okay, Sean.
And he'll. I'm sure he'll have a link there, or you can email him from there on how to get the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. And bear, you mentioned bear, Gene. You guys ever do bear on the grill?
As least often as possible, Larry.
Right. But usually when we're playing the Bears at Lambeau Field, we will do bear meat.
Yep. It's such a lean, such a tough cut of meat. It's one of those where it takes forever to get going. Once it gets going and gets it cooking, it cooks fast. It's difficult to do. That's why a lot of people put it in stews, put it in crock pots, brown it up, wrap it in foil, and add some seasonings and mixtures, and then slow cook it on the grill that way. It's a difficult one to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
By the way, Dean in New London emailed in to say that Merrill is much taller on radio than in person.
He's a smart man, Dean is. You know, we got to tell you on our television show, which is sort of a joke, a Bad Dog and Aaron, Fox 11 in the Green Bay Area every Friday and Sunday, also on the CW network. But our fine co-hosts, they're all smaller than us.
Shorter.
And everybody's
shorter.
Yeah, they're shorter. And then everybody that sees this live, they go, well, we expect you guys to be a lot taller. We hear that all the time. It's pretty funny. I didn't realize that on radio. I feel pretty good now.
Yeah, you're tall. You're a 6'5".
That's right. You bet. And 180 pounds, too.
Yeah, 6'5", 180. Yeah. Well, I think you're more like 185.
Okay, I'll even take that.
All right. We had a Facebook recipe from Sandy for grilled Italian zucchini. It's like a couple medium zucchini, you slice about an inch thick, you put in a bowl and drizzle about a half a cup of olive oil. Add a good seasonings Italian salad dressing dry mix and stir them together, and then you marinate for an hour or more. You can even do it overnight. Put the zucchini slices on the grill or use a wire mesh grate plate on top, and you grill them until they're brown. Remove from the grill, top with Parmesan cheese. Let it sit until the cheese melts.
You know, that's a great recipe, and another one to do, and it's so easy to do, is I cut mine into pickle-shaped spears, the zucchini.
Yep.
I roll them in that same Italian dressing mixture. Then you roll them in the canister Parmesan cheese, and then you just set them on the grill, kind of the skin side down with it, the third part of the wedge that has the skin on it. You don't really need to turn them. You put them right onto the grates of the grill, and you slow cook them or cook them on a medium direct heat for about 7 to 15 minutes, and then you can start to turn them a little bit, too, if you want to during that process. But that way it's all in one process, and it's delicious to do on the grill.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just wishing I had some right now, Larry.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of wishing the same thing. I actually do something quite similar to that with asparagus.
Yeah.
And asparagus turns out really good, and I've learned that the asparagus, if you're doing some boneless chicken breasts or something like that on the grill, the breasts get done about the same time as the asparagus.
Yeah.
That's my method.
It's delicious. Exactly right. And nothing finer. Hey, you know, one of the, and we're talking tailgating, and if I don't get this in, I'm going to be disappointed. One of my ideas in life, I've always wanted to do an NFL team color tailgate cookbook. And we can do it right here in the state of Wisconsin. When you go to the tailgate and you tailgate with the big red, what should you bring? Kebabs with shrimp, white mushrooms, red peppers, white onions, marinating a little red wine vinegar. So you have the red and white right there, and you're doing your team colors. When you go to the Lambeau Field or if the Packers are playing, it's green and gold zucchini or green and gold peppers with cuts of meat in between. And when you do those your hamburgers on the grill, layer white onions with red peppers in a nice drip pan, brown up some burgers, put them over the top of that red and white, cover them up, put them back on the grill. Or if you're doing the green and gold, of course, the green and gold peppers on there, layer them in the bottom of the pan, brown up some burgers, put them over the top of those peppers, put those back on the grill to simmer for about a half hour so you support your team colors as you're tailgating, and it kind of makes sense.
I like that. That's a
yeah, and you can do purple onions for those fine folks to the west. You know, you can do just about any team color if you think about it that you possibly want to, and you can support your own colors.
Oh, that's great. I love that idea. Jordan in Marengo has question or comment. Let's go to him. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Jordan. Don't mention purple again.
Hey, do the eggplant. Do the eggplant.
Yeah. Actually, I like those. But anyway, what I'm calling about is what I've been doing for years is I like the fermented black bean paste instead of soy sauce. It's richer, it's sweeter, it's more complex. And I use it on chicken. I use it on salmon with chunks of ginger and lime juice. It's just a great all-around top-secret deadly weapon, and when you look for it, don't get the brand name from the grocery store that's kind of brownish. You want to go to an Asian store or a Whole Food Co-op and get the brand names that are rich and black in color. The brown stuff is not good. So anytime you're thinking of reaching for soy sauce, try that instead. That's what I've got for you guys, and go pack, go.
All right.
Oh, great idea. Delicious. Yep, exactly.
Black bean paste. I like that.
Yes. Yeah, I used to eat paste when I was in grade school.
That's why his teeth are so white.
Steve in Caledonia. Now, here's one. You probably get this question pretty much every day. Do you have a recipe for bison tongue?
Oh, gosh. No, but, you know, we're going to be doing some work with the Bison Association. I changed the subject right away. Bison, you know, is so heart healthy for you. It helps to lower your cholesterol. It's very lean cut of meat there. Again, you need to slow cook it, and it cooks faster than normal cuts of meat because it does not have the fat content. Bison is phenomenal to work with and delicious for you and good for you, so. And the tongue, he can cook it any way he wants to.
Yep. We've done it before. There's an inside family joke on that one that Mad Dog had smoked some beef heart and some beef tongue, and I served it to my wife and didn't tell her what she was eating. And it was a long couple of weeks there for a while, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But it was good.
It was good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, you can join in, too, by the way, as you listen in here at 1-800-642-1234. And all these recipes that people have been putting up on the Facebook page, if you want to be interested in those, just go to the Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can copy them down. Also, we've got a link to Mad Dog and Merrill, to their page as well. So you can just link on ours and click on theirs, and there you go. 1-800.
If you join us on Facebook, we'd appreciate it. You can do that when you get to our website. It'll say Facebook, and you can join us there, and you can see where personal appearances are day by day, and it's just a nice idea. And we share recipes and stuff like that, so it's a lot of fun.
We've got here's a number to call if you'd like to join in with a question or comment, or maybe you've got an idea for cooking, for grilling, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or again, go to that Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I've got an email from Annie. Tom Gruey of Eau Claire is a famous griller of the venison he harvests every fall. He teaches friends and relatives to prepare the low-fat meat of chops, steaks, and burgers by brushing both sides with olive oil, sprinkling them with garlic pepper, let them marinate for a half hour or so before grilling, and then he grills them for 3 to 5 minutes on each side over a hot fire because we like our venison medium rare.
Yep. Very good.
Sounds like a grillologist.
Yeah, it is. You know, the olive oil really helps on there. And there again, you know, he's not cooking that too long. Another thing really for in marinades, you know, the marinades, he's marinating that at really the right time allocated. A lot of people end up over-marinating. And you're better off. I usually like marinating maybe 2 to 5 hours at the most.
Yeah, I actually purchased at a store once something that marinated, and it had, and actually I think it might have marinated 2 days, because when we took it home and put it on the, we grilled it, and when we took it off, the meat was
the texture of the meat wasn't quite right.
No, it wasn't just quite. Not quite right.
It was... Oh, but you could make string. You could roll up a lucky yarn.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so I agree with you that a little is probably better than a whole long time.
Yeah.
Facebook.
You know, it's okay to go to those the stores, and they have those tumbled products, and they're really nice. They're good and flavorful. But when you can marinate your own, and you can judge that it's only been marinated for a couple hours, sometimes you're better off.
A Facebook question from Daniel, looking for some direction on how to prepare and cook baby back ribs Memphis style on the grill, mainly because I don't care for my ribs lathered in barbecue sauce. I like it much better on the side. By the way, I live in the New London area and have used your barbecue sauces and seasonings forever. Great products, and we recommend them to everyone I talk to.
That's great. That is good. You know, ribs are one thing that we get a lot of people asking questions for, but I'll tell you the really easy way to do the ribs, and it sounds like he likes more of a dry rub, and he puts the barbecue sauce on the side. But if you're doing baby back ribs, I will go ahead and rub just a little bit of olive oil on it. Use your favorite seasoning. We've got a seasoning called Grandma Hazel's that I like using. And rub that on the meat. Throw the ribs on the grill. Grill them the direct method for about 5 to 6 minutes on each side. You just want to brown them up really nice and golden brown. And then wrap them up in aluminum foil, place them back on the grill, and you grill them what we call the indirect method of grilling, where there's no heat underneath that meat product. And you grill that approximately about an hour, hour and 15 minutes, then unwrap them out of aluminum foil, then grill them, direct method of cooking. And if you want, you can go ahead and brush your barbecue sauce on the end there. If you don't like the barbecue sauce, if you like it on the side, take it off, and you're ready to eat. They'll come out really nice and tender.
So you get a good smoke flavor then from that?
Yes, you do. You really do. It's really surprising on there. Now, if you want, you could even do it without wrapping up in aluminum foil. And a lot of people do that down south. They call it the Texas crunch, where they'll go ahead and wrap it up in foil and just let it sit there and then simmer. But if you want, you don't even have to use aluminum foil. Go ahead and use your wood chips, and you'll get the smoke flavor in that also.
All right, and we had another question relating to oh my gosh, where to go to brats. What do you think about? And somebody who wondered about simmering brats. Do you do your brats on the grill without putting them in water at all first, or beer first, and or not? And then if you do, what's the poaching versus boiling?
A lot of people like to pre-cook their bratwurst first. But our opinion is it's like par cooking chicken or par cooking ribs. You lose a lot of flavor. But you go to certain areas of Wisconsin, and by golly, that's the way they do it, and we're not going to teach them any different. You know, you can put beer, and you can put onions, and you can put garlic in a kettle, and you can bring it to a nice high simmer. Throw your fresh bratwurst in there and slow bring those up to a nice white and firmness, so they're pre-cooked, and you might be fine. The problem is I think people have a tendency to boil the dickens out of them, and they lose half the flavor, and then you put them on the grill, and they're curled up, and it's fine. But a nice fresh bratwurst, like the ones we were talking about, the Reuben brats, the Italian brats, the Cajun brats, all those ones that are at those meat butcher shops, if you have a nice medium-low heat or medium-direct heat, and you put those fresh brats on the grill, just let them set for 3-4 minutes, turn them for another 3-4, turn them again, and in 9 minutes, those brats will be cooked through without a flare-up, I'll guarantee you.
9 minutes.
So, 9 minutes, 3, 3, and 3, and honest to goodness, they'll be cooked through just beautifully.
Boy.
You know, the Pork Association just came out with brochures and pamphlets, and we've been preaching it for a couple of years. You know, 145 degrees. For fresh pork, not that all brats are pork, because we talked about the turkey, we talked about the chicken, we talked about the beef brats. But as a rule, when you purchase bratwurst, a lot of times there's pork in them. But 145, 150 degrees, so you know, please don't overcook any meat products nowadays, and you'll have a lot better results.
And I'm just checking my Facebook page. Judith alerted me. There's a really good picture here of some thick-cut pork steaks on the grill. Oh, man, do they look good.
I'll take them over ribs a lot of times because there is just enough marbleization on there, enough fat. There's certain areas like the, you know, there's certain cuts of meat within that pork steak that are more tender than the other cuts. So you have some variables, some diversity there, and diversity in life is good. So
yeah, they're gorgeous. Somebody else is wondering here about planked salmon, and we've talked about that in the past. But let's do it again for those who are interested.
And we're talking wild game here. Let's talk salmon also, but take beautiful duck breast, pheasant, or even the turkey breast, and think about this: glisten it with an oil, season it up. Now we're that far. Let's go back to the plank because we're going to use the plank on those too.
Oh.
But you take any untreated lumber, oak, hickory, cedar, whatever you'd like to use, and different flavors have, you know, different ones have different flavors. You submerge that in water, those planks, for at least 2 to 8 hours, somewhere in that neighborhood. I like doing mine overnight. Take a brick, submerge them down in a cooler or a large drip pan. They've got to be moist. You got to take them right from that water. And you take your salmon, you glisten it with an oil, you season it up, you pack a little brown sugar, take the skin off the salmon, or that gets very soft. They have to be skinned salmon or okay. Any cut of meat. Catfish work, tilapia works, shrimp, scallops. We've done everything on planks this year. It's phenomenal. You take that plank right out of the water. Don't let it dry out. Your seasoned cut of meat goes on top. Now we can put those turkey breasts, those duck, those pheasant breasts, whatever you want to on top of there, glistened with an oil and seasoned up. Those go right over the top of a preheated grill, preheat on high, put the planks on there, put the hood down, don't doidle, and then you can turn it down to a medium heat when you see it start to bellow of smoke in about 7-8 minutes. But whatever time element you normally cook, if that salmon normally takes 12 minutes, you double it to 24. If those turkey or little breasts normally take 7 or 8 minutes, double it to 16 to 18, somewhere in that minutes. And don't peek at the product because that gives air to the cedar or the plank, which will start a fire eventually. But you want that wood to be charred. You want a nice, higher, direct heat. And you want, you know, it's just delicious. You can do anything in the world on planks. We did plank bratwurst. They're great.
You did?
Yeah, they were fantastic. Meryl did the string cheese. Not that you'd spend $7 or $8 on a plank and do $3 worth of string cheese, but it was fantastic.
But Meryl would.
I would after having it, because the flavor, if you like smoked cheese, definitely do it with the string cheese on the planks. It's great.
How do you...
You put the string cheese layered on the wet plank, you put it on the grill, put the hood down, and it only takes, on a nice higher heat, probably about 7 to 8 minutes, 12 minutes at the most. You open up the hood, you have to scoop the cheese off onto a platter. It sounds yucky. You put it in the refrigerator for about an hour or so, and then you bring it out, and you've got smoked cheese. That's delicious. We did it with cheese curds.
Yep.
Oh, I never would. And what about go back to the brats a minute. So about 18 minutes on the brats?
Somewhere about 18 minutes on the brats. You know, everything's going to be, if I'm not mistaken, I took fresh brats, and I browned them a little bit to get the flavor of the grill, but they weren't cooked all the way through. And then I put them on that wet plank, put the hood down, and I waited another 8 to 10 to 18 minutes somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't think you can necessarily overcook them because there's enough fat in there, and they're not on the direct heat. But they were great.
Yeah, and just the standard ones.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's nothing you can't do. Like I mentioned, we did beautiful chicken breast. Take the raw chicken breast, oil it, season it, put about 4 or 3 of them, whatever you can get on a plank that's been soaked, and put that plank on the grill for about 20 minutes, because normally that chicken breast takes about, you know, 5-6 minutes on both sides, so 20-some minutes, and the chicken breast was fantastic. You cut into it, and the moisture just drooled right out of it. Drooled. I'm on public radio.
Well, that's something Martha Stewart would use. Can you imagine?
I am so sorry I said drool.
I like that. That's a Mad Dog and Merrill term.
I like that term. That's a good term. And I like you guys. I tell you what. We had a lot of fun here. Again, your Facebook page or your website, Mad Dog and Merrill. We've got that up on our Facebook page, but again, it's just Mad Dog and Merrill, isn't it?
Yep, Mad Dog and Merrill.com. Yep, you can order our cookbooks, our sauces. You can find out through Facebook where those cookbooks and sauces are at retail stores. And we got more products coming out this fall. I was tasting mustards all day long today before I called.
We'll learn more about that next time. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot, Larry.
Thanks, everybody. Happy grilling.
Yeah, Mad Dog and Merrill, the grilling buddies, our guests. They're always a lot of fun when they're here. And it's always a lot of fun when you're listening. Thank you so much for listening. And stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.